Welcome to episode 5 of the Excel at Consulting podcast. Today, our conversation is about setting expectations and why setting expectations matter. So expectation is the strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. So when we're talking about expectations, we know that you can have either high or low expectations. So for instance, I like to use the example of shopping experiences, and I will tell you from the start that I love Target, so I am biased. But when you compare, for instance, Walmart and Target, there is a difference in what most people would say are their expectations of the shopping experience. So earlier today, I had to go get an agenda for my daughter, and we went to Walmart because it's the closest to the house, and I know that they will have it in stock. At least I had the expectation that they would. And that's where we chose to shop. So when I go to Walmart, I have a certain expectation of service. I know, or I expect, that the parking lot is going to be full of cars. I expect there to be a crowd in the store. I expect there to be limited cash registers probably open, and it's probably going to take me a little bit longer to get in and out. I expect actually very low prices, which is a good thing. But I don't really expect the store to be well organized and put together. Usually when I go to Walmart, I have to search through a lot of stuff to find what I need, but it's cheap. So, hey, I deal with it. But those are my expectations when I go to Walmart. I would consider that kind of like a low to moderate expectation. Now, that is completely different when I go to Target, or should I say Target, which is my favorite store. So when I go to Target, I expect definitely for them to be up on their game. I expect the store to be well stocked. I expect it to be organized. I expect it to be clean. I expect the parking lot to, you know, not be overly crowded, nor the store. I expect the cash registers to have ample, you know, cashiers in place to help you out and to move you through quickly. And I expect really to pay a little bit more because oftentimes, you know, I do when I shop at Target, but I also expect to find a lot of cool stuff because usually I can spend hours upon hours in Target and leave out with like probably 10 things that I didn't go for. So those are my expectations of shopping at Target, which I would say I have pretty high expectations compared to when I shop at Walmart. So it is, definitely clear that we can have either high or low expectations, and those expectations can be either good or bad. Now, when we're talking about the consultant and client relationship or, business, then you want to make sure that there is a high expectation of your work as a consultant or a coach, right? This pertains to, you know, consultants, coaches, entrepreneurs. When someone, if you're service-based, if someone is seeking your help for an issue, they expect or have a high expectation of your work because they want the help. They are in need of your assistance. And so it's not enough for them to just have this high expectation of your work and what you can offer, but it's actually key that you deliver on it. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Here are 4 reasons why. 1 is free. Who doesn't love that? 2, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Super simple. 3, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. And 4, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Typically, when someone is reaching out and they're trying to find a consultant, they are looking for help to solve a problem. And what you'll find is that when you get there and you dig deep into the initial interview process, you may uncover a mountain of things that need to be fixed or things that have been left undone. In that moment, you have to realize that you cannot fix everything at once. None of us can.
So there is going to be a strategic process or a way that you can move through the evaluation and determine where you can be of greatest help, at least initially, to get the client started on their way. When you're doing this and you're outlining and digging deep and you're evaluating all of the needs that the company, the client has, you have to also think or keep in mind, number one, what is your zone of expertise? So when you're thinking about how you can best help the client, you have to put that in the frame of what you're able to offer. And when you're thinking about your zone of expertise and how you can best meet many of the needs that the client may have, it's smart to set up or structure your proposed plan to really focus in on those areas. Because if that's your zone of expertise, then you're going to perform well. You're going to shine. You're going to produce great results. You're going to feel very comfortable meeting their needs in that area because that is your specialty. And it doesn't mean that you can't do other things. I mean, many of us are very creative. We are very diverse and very well-rounded. And so there are a lot of areas that you can dive into. So someone can consult you for a particular strategy build or plan for their business, but then they also within kind of going through their needs, you identify that they need a website built. They need a better, high quality professional website. Well, maybe you're good at designing on WordPress or some other tool, and you could do that. But if that's not your zone of expertise, then don't offer that as an initial service. The point is to really offer what you are best at and that you can easily deliver. Number one is because you get paid more for that. You're getting paid more for that expertise and that service that no one else can provide. And then number two, you don't want to waste time or in essence, increase the workload that you have in your schedule doing things that are not consistent with what your goal and mission is for a business or a company. So it's important to kind of stay in the zone of expertise and to make sure that when you're approaching the initial plan for your client, that that plan is designed based upon the expertise that you're bringing to the table. Now, the second thing that you have to do is that you have to set very, very clear expectations. Once again, there can be a number of needs that have to be met, but there has to be an understanding by the client that you are not going to meet all of them at once. And it is not a matter of not being able to deliver on these services, but just being very clear of the strategy and setting the expectation of what they will receive once you're able to provide your expert service to deliver and meet some of the urgent, high priority needs that will get them to the next level. Once that expectation is clearly set and they know, I'm consulting you to help me progress or get to this next phase, and then you're able to deliver on that, well, they're going to be happy. They're going to be pleased. You're going to get great, you know, referrals and critique and feedback because you have helped them get clearly to the level that you initially stated that you would. You delivered and more than likely, hopefully over-delivered. So you set a clear expectation and you met the expectation. Now, what becomes tricky is when you don't set clear expectations and there is this belief by the client that you're going to somehow solve all of their problems and you're going to do that for this limited amount of money, typically far less than what it would cost to take on all of these tasks. And when you're unable to do so, number one, because you never intended to, that was never your expectation, then they are going to be disappointed. They're going to feel as if you did not deliver the services that they paid for or that they consulted you for. So it's very important to set very clear expectations and to make sure not only that you set those expectations verbally, but you also follow up, I recommend, with that in writing so that you can clearly outline what your goals are from this collaboration of the consultant and the client together. So if I know that I'm consulting you, for instance, for weight loss purposes, I like to use that as an analogy because I think that if anyone is like me, you're always trying to lose weight. But if I'm consulting you to get to a certain point, which is to wear this dress that's two sizes smaller, which means I have to drop about 20 pounds. And I'm trying to do that in 2 weeks. Well, you know from the start that that is not a reasonable expectation. And so if you are clear from the start and say, I can't get you to this point in 2 weeks because this is not physically possible with it in a healthy manner, then, you know, you leave the individual believing that somehow, some way, they're going to magically drop 20 pounds in 2 weeks and fit into this dress. And so we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we clearly communicate just what is possible and what can be done, and then structure that in a fashion so that they understand clearly what the timeline may be. I always like to let my clients know if we're working on a given project or an initiative that's going to take a lot of time, then I explain, hey, this is not something that we're going to be done with in 2 weeks or in 4 weeks. This is a project that is going to typically take us roughly 6 months to 12 months to complete. And if we move quickly, then and do everything right, 6 months may be a possible goal, but more realistic. Lee, we will probably be looking at 9 to 12 months. And so if I set that as the expectation, then that is what a client is going to hold me to. So I want to make sure that one thing that we're doing is setting clear expectations so that the client understands what work is going to be done, what they are should expect to be delivered, and in what time frame. And so understanding those things and having that clearly laid out in writing will help to really just provide so much clarity between the consultant and the client in that relationship. And so you don't have that kind of push and pull back and forth, because now everybody's on the same page. And that's always our goal. Now, the third and the last thing that I do want to stress is that we are all forgetful. And we don't always remember everything that's been written. We don't always remember everything that has been said. And as relationships develop and you become more of a trusted advisor, you become closer to the clients that you work with, it can be very easy to add more expectations or more requests or more asks to the original project. And so you have to really guard against that and make sure that you're sticking very closely to what has been outlined. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do additional work. What you just have to do is make sure that you reframe that and present that as an extension to the package, or present that as additional work that could be contracted for. There are many ways that we can approach that, but we don't want to add in additional work and services if that was not part of the original expectation and the way that everything was originally outlined. That's why it's good to actually provide a reminder periodically. And so what I do is I check in, on a regular basis. So for instance, if you are working with a client for a period of 4 to 6 weeks, you may want to check in at the halfway mark and just make sure that you are going back through what the set expectations are and maybe giving an update with regards to the status. And once again, communicating where this client should and will be by the end of your work together. If it's a longer period of time, you may want to have those touch points monthly or, you know, every other month. But either way, you want to make sure that you set this at a repeated interval so that you can go back and discuss what the expectations are without changing them. Once again, unless you're going to change the structure and of your contract and payments and things of that nature. So what you're actually doing is just setting this time as a reminder and a check-in so that there is continued clarity from the start to the finish of the project. And so by really working to establish expectations early, you can create a situation where everybody wins, because you're going to create a scenario where your work is confined, where your work is outlined, and where your work can be controlled and can be optimized day by day. And for the client, you are going to set in their mind where, or vision of where they can be or should be at the end of their relationship or collaboration with you. So the one important thing you must do at the start of all of your engagements and your contracts is to set clear expectations. And once again, you want to make sure that when you're setting these expectations, you're staying in your zone of expertise so you can deliver the highest quality and the best work that you can. You want to make sure that you set the expectations clearly and provide that in writing, and then follow up periodically as a reminder to ensure that there is clarity throughout the entire collaboration period. Well, if you do that, I promise that you will have a client that is satisfied, that is happy if you deliver on all of those things that you set out to do, and that will have positive feedback and bring more clients your way. That wraps up another episode of the Excel at Consulting podcast. It's my hope that you enjoyed your time here and that you'll join in again for another conversation all about consulting, maximizing your impact, and achieving that work-life balance you deserve. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at Excel at Consulting, and I hope to see you, hear from you, talk to you again soon. Take care.